श्रीमद् भागवता महापुराण की जय 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 श्री राधे। A small review of yesterday, Rasa Lila, chapter 29, verse 26. Krishna was saying that, encouraging the gopis to go home to avoid committing an adulterous affair, committing adultery, by staying there with him and having an illicit relationship with someone. And he used the word opapatyam, kulastriyam. And it's translated as adultery, adulterous affairs. But we maybe missed it yesterday, but Sri Jiva Goswami, he gives another meaning of this word, which is the meaning Krishna was implying, because Sanskrit words have many meanings, and they're all correct according to the context. The usage may vary which word you'll use or another. So he says this word, opapatyam, means one who remains near or stays near her husband. So that's the opposite, because opapatyam means to leave your husband and go with another one, to enjoy or have intimacy with another man. So that's adultery. It's immoral and sinful, religiously and socially. But the same word can also mean to stay with your husband and remain near him. So this changes the whole sense of the verse that Krishna's saying, that actually what Jiva Goswami says, the verse implies that staying near him is staying near your husband, using the word opapapatyam to mean staying near your husband. This is condemnable, because he says, chugupsitam cha sarvatra. At all times, sarvatra, everywhere, this is condemned, to run away from your husband. But Krishna is actually saying it's condemnable, you're condemned if you stay near your husband, if your husband does not allow you to go to swarga. Because the verse starts off, aswargyam ayashasyam cha. Aswargyam. It's condemnable. A wife is condemned if she stays with a husband which prohibits her or blocks her from attaining perfection, which in one sense means swargamukti for the materialists or the followers of karmakanda. So then he says that it's wrong. You shouldn't. It's actually wrong, and it's not good for your future to stay with such a husband who's sickly and weak and keeping you there. Therefore, better you stay here with me. That's another meaning of the word. And then Bishnu Chakravarti is to review what we said. He said it's adulterous for all women of this world to stay with their worldly husbands, since Krishna is the only true and eternal husband of Sarvatra, Stri, all women. Of course, if your husband's representing Krishna and Dharma, then you stay with him, because he's your Dharmapati. He's your Dharmapati, which means he's representing Krishna. I know many spiritual people that are married, and the husband regularly he reads Bhagavatam every day with his wife and children. In the morning, he has kirtan. In the evening, he reads Bhagavad Gita. And every day, he has his children memorize one verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, now they know most of the Gita. Then they review it. He's married, and he has his wife and family, and he's a Vaishnava, and he's dharmic, and he's therefore a guru, dharma, guru pati. So to stay with such a husband near him will be beneficial. It will promote the woman's spiritual cause towards liberation, dharmart kam moksha. So we have a new verse today. And Krishna decides not to preach any longer karma and gyan and varnashram dharma, and following your ashram dharma and your varna dharma. Now he decides to preach that you should practice bhakti. It's about time. Of course, they don't need to practice bhakti because they are siddha. Sadhana siddha gopis, they're jivas like us, the municharis and rishicharis of Treta Yuga and previous yugas, the personified Vedas. They did so much tapasya and so much bhakti sadhana, navavida bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, ekadasi, brat, harivasara, jagran, so many things, and attained a swarup siddhi, a spiritual body, and then they had sakshat darshan and lila pravesh. They entered Krishna's nitya lila pravesh in Boma Vrindavan. What to speak of Krishna's eternal associates, his nitya parishad, the direct bodily expansions of his antaranga shakti, his ladini, bliss and love potency, Radharani, Lalita, all the sakis, mandris, they're directly Krishna's pleasure potency in a form of a transcendental gopi. They're all standing in front of him. So they're all perfect beings from eternal time or at a certain point of time if they're jivas like us who attain perfection in their yoga, bhakti yoga, sadhana, sadhana. So Krishna, as he's preaching here about bhakti, but he's talking about Vaidhi bhakti or Raghunuga bhakti. So who is he talking to? Who knows? Maybe us. But he's telling the gopis, oh, you think that you're not listening to me, you're not leaving me. I'm telling you to go home, you should serve your husbands, don't commit adultery. If you do that, you won't go to Swarga, you won't get a good birth in your next life, you'll suffer, you'll be punished as a reaction to your sins. You'll lose your reputation and name and fame in society. Everyone will spit on you and reject you, and no one, you'll lose all your friends and support. Gopis aren't moving anywhere, just looking at each other, sidelong glances, or sometimes looking at the moon, looking at the flowers. And Krishna said, well, you came here because you're standing in front of me because you must have, he said previously, I suppose you have love for me. You must have love for me. That's why you've come to me in the middle of the night when I beckoned you with my murali. But all the jivas have love for me. In that same shloka we read a few verses ago, it's natural. You have abhisnehad. You have abhisnehad. You have sneha, intense prema. But everyone, I'm the priya. I'm the dear one. One way or another, God is dear to every living entity. So you're near and dear to me. But every man and woman and animal in this universe, and especially this earth planet, they're near and dear to me. Priyante. He said, Priyante Jantava. Priyante Jantava. The Janta, the Jana, all the people, all the living entities, they're dear. And you have Sneha, they have Priya. That's all the same. So go home. And then, so they've attained him, and now he's saying, he's going to preach bhakti, not dharma. Not ashram dharma or varna dharma, bhakti. Bhakti is transcendental. It is alokik. It is sanatan dharma, eternal dharma. Bhakti is jiva dharma, the dharma of the jiva, atma dharma. Varna ashram dharma, being a good brahman or being a good kshatriya or vaishya or shudra or being a good brahmachari or good grihast or vanaprast or good sannyasi, this is all lokik. Dharma, it's called Deha Dharma, Sharir Dharma. Social responsibilities, rites, rituals, rules and regulations pertaining to our physical bodies placed in this material world. Deha Dharma, Sharir Dharma, Lokik, temporary, relative, material. But then there's something called Alokik, Sanatan, Sat Dharma, Sad Dharma. And Sadharma is Nitya Dharma. Nitya Dharma is that which applies to the Atma, Jivatma, Me Jivatma Hum. I am Jiva, eternal individual part of consciousness, individual personality and consciousness eternally. Satchitananda Rupam, the Jiva, Jivatma. That is called Atma Dharma, Alokik, Alokik, transcendental, beyond this Lok, Alokik. It's the type of activity which is nitya. That activity which is nitya is lila, Krishna lila. And that's in Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha. So human life, the jiva, is meant to become liberated from the tabernacle and bondage of the Trigunamayi, the shackles of this material body, of our karma, papa karma, punya karma, leave this world and obtain mukti or moksha. And then we go to the place where there's no karma. There's no karma in the spiritual world. There's no work. There's no action. There's only play. Play is not work. And there's no anxiety. There's no tension. There's only bliss and love eternally. So this is called Atma Dharma. So now Krishna is not going to preach any more Sharir or Deha Dharma. He's going to preach Atma Dharma, Bhakti, Shravanam Navaveda Bhakti, Bhakti Yoga, and Bhakti is totally transcendental. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga is material. It's Lokic Dharma, Lokic activities. Bhakti is transcendental because it's totally connected with the transcendental Lord. And it connects and it engages the transcendental aspect of our being, our Atma. Yoga is about the body. Jnana is about the mind. Karma is about moving and placing the body in relationship to this world and people in it. This is all material. But bhakti is about the Atma. The Atma, the Jivatma, hears about Krishna. The Atma chants about Krishna. The Atma remembers Krishna. The Atma serves Krishna. This is transcendental. So now he's going to talk about bhakti. And you have my Sakshat Darshan, and your hearts are melting in love. Sneha means a melted heart. When the inner quantum of the heart actually melts in liquid mellows of attachment and attraction and sweet love for the beloved, it's called sneha, a liquid flow of transcendental affection, sneha. Abhisnehad, Krishna said earlier, oh gopis, you have this type of sneha. So now he's saying, actually, if you want to attain God, if you want to attain God, the best sadhana, the best marg is bhakti marg. Bhakti is transcendental. What is bhakti marg? I think it's best that you go home and practice, follow the bhakti marg. It's better you hear about me, Vishnu, Krishna Shravanam. It's better you chant my glories, Krishna Kirtanam, Krishna Jap, Krishna Kirtan, Nam Jap, Guna Kirtan. And it's better that you do Smaran, and you do Dhyanam. You should meditate on me and remember me. And then to facilitate that remembrance and to focalize and concentrate your mind, you should establish some murti puja. You should make some murti of me, archa vigraha, and do some puja and offer some agarbati and some deepam and bhog. That is a good thing for you, gopis. You should all go home and follow bhakti yoga. Of course, this is a very nice recommendation for conditioned souls, nitya-bhada jivas like us who are bound by our material desires and our layers and layers of karma and unfulfilled hankerings and ambitions. But the gopis, they're siddha, they're nitya-siddha or sadhana-siddha, perfect beings, totally, absolutely liberated. They're all mumukshus, they're muktas, they're all liberated. They don't need to do any more bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, yoga means a means or a process to connect the body with God. A means or a process to connect the mind with God. Karma yoga, jnana yoga. A means and process to connect the atma with the paramatma, that is bhakti yoga. Connection, union, oneness. They're there. They have oneness. Oneness in mind, heart, and everything with Krishna. So let's hear the verse. That's a little introduction. Verse 27. Shravanad darshanad dhyanan mai bhavo nukirtanat na tata sani karshena pratiyata tato grihan. Again, he's telling, go home, go home, go home. He's not saying go home back to Godhead. He is back to Godhead. He's the Godhead. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is telling them to go home. Grihan. Pratiyata. Pratiyata means go, and Grihan means, as you know, Grihastha means house, home. Go home. And they're saying, wait a minute, we followed Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. We're sadhana siddha gopis, and Prabhupada told us we should go home. back to Godhead. So we came back to Godhead. And we're home with you, looking at you. Now you're telling us to go home again, back to our houses, back to Gurgaon, back to Delhi. Pratiyata tata. He's saying, so he says, the best way to attain me is to hear about me and see my deity form and meditate and chant my glories, anukirtan, continuous kirtan. So therefore, since I said this, I'm telling you about bhakti yoga, go home now and practice. Pratiyata. Pratiyata tato griha. Now, look, I told you what to do. Listen, you came to me. You want to know how to attain me. Okay, listen. They say, you think we're cracked? We came to you because we already did our yoga. We already went through yama, niyama, asan, yama, niyama, yama, niyama, asan, then pranayama, and pratyahara, and dharana, and dhyana, and samadhi. Now, nitya lila pravesh, sarva samadhi siddhi. We've attained perfection, here we are, waiting to embrace you, dance with you, kiss you, love you, serve you in every possible way, and fulfill your every whim and wish. Now you're saying, go back to grammar school? You graduate from university, you get a PhD in psychology. Now the dean of the school gives you your diploma, says, very nice, you've done a wonderful job, you're honored, toppers in the school, you've got all honors. Now go back to kindergarten and start again. I said, Are. He says, you're cracked? What kind of teacher are you? It's true what he says, that this is the best way to attain Krishna. And he says, translation, Sri Bhagavan said, Krishna said to the gopis, hey Sakis, transcendental love for me, my bhav, transcendental love for me does not, bhav, Krishna bhav, Krishna prem. Sakis, listen, this is how you want to attain bhav? And prem, Krishna is telling, bhava mayi, you want to be bhava mayi? Full of bhav for Krishna, saturated with Krishna bhav and prem. Here's how to do it, Krishna is telling directly. It arises by bhakti yoga, by devotional processes of hearing about me, shravanad, seeing my deity form, takarshi darshan, darshanad, and meditating on me, then faithfully chanting my glories, anukirtanat, subsequently chanting. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity, so please go back to your homes. Prabhupada's translation. Krishna said to the gopis, Sakis, if you think that you are very attached to me and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. That's not good. That's not good. It's better you go home. This is the best way to love your beloved. Don't try to love your lover by going to him or being with him. You should stay home very far away from your lover and love him from there. Yes? Does this make sense? Your lover should stay in the forest, and you should stay in New York City and put a picture of him on the wall and express all your love to the picture. Oh, I love you so much, and you're nice. And it's better you go home, simply talk about me, talk to your picture, think of me, think of your picture, and by this process of constantly remembering me and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated. You will be elevated to the spiritual platform. There is no need to stand near me, so go home and do your sadhana bhakti. What are you waiting for? You're wasting time. It's almost time to offer Mangalarti to your picture. You know, it's 1 o'clock now, and you better take a bath and get ready, chant a few rounds, and then you can offer Mangalarti to your picture of Krishna. Let me just stay here and play my flute. Very interesting preaching. Now it's almost, we have a phrase in English, Krishna went from the sublime to the ridiculous. So he's preaching the sublimities and the basic facts of Varnashram Dharma, Varna Dharma, Nashram Dharma. Now he's becoming seemingly ridiculous on one level. Although it's true, it's absolutely true what he said. If you're a conditioned soul and don't have any connection or attachment or relationship with God, then this is certainly an outline of the major important practices of bhakti yoga. Although there's generally 9 listed, Krishna mentioned the most important ones, hearing, chanting, and remembering. And this is not only spoken by Krishna, this is Krishna's shiksha. This is Krishna's shikshamrita, bhakti shikshamrita. The essence of nectarian instructions on bhakti yoga by Bhagavan Sri Krishna at the Rasa Das. Because the essence of all bhakti yoga is really only these 3 things. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. And generally, the Archamurti is a facility for smaranam and vaidimarg. Then as one advances to ragmarg, then Archamurti becomes the manasik murti. Because vaidimarg goes to ruchi. And at ruchi, one can legitimately and honestly, seriously begin Raghunuga Bhakti. Because he has such ruchi for his murti and his Thakurji and Krishna as a person and Radharani as his consort, that they will take shelter in his mind and become the manasik murti. So therefore, Krishna is rightly saying, Shravanat, Darshanat, Dhyanan, Anukirtanat. So Shravanam, Darshan, Dhyanam. Dhyana means smaran, meditation, remembrance. Darshanat means seeing with the external eye at the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana, Archa Murti. And then there's Manasik Murti. Archa means Murti made of stone, granite, marble, Ashtadhatu, metal, loha, iron, daru, wood, ratna, money, jewels. This is the Archamurti. But there's the Manasik Murti. There are 7 murtis listed by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of them is Manasamurti, not Archa. And that is the Sri Murti. The Sri Murti means Sri Radha and Sri Krishna placed in your mind. And that's possible the platform of Ruchi. And then one does Shravan, hears about them, reads about them, then he chants about them and he meditates. Shravanam, kirtanat, dhyanam. This is the perfection of bhakti. These are the 3 most important limbs of bhakti. Because in simply by doing this, one will become, develop his sambandha with the Lord as a das and a friend and atmanivedanam and possibly go to the level of Gopi Bhav and Madhurya Vrati. If that is his stai bhav, he'll progress. Because these are different levels. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. Then it's archanam, vandanam. So vandanam means kirtan. So vandanam is included in kirtan. Then after vandanam, or prayers to the deity, which is your manasik murti, and rag marg, the deities, Radha and Krishna within your mind, and you're meditating Ashtakali Lila on these particular forms of Radha and Krishna, Gaur-Nitai, Panchatattva, and a relationship of Dasya as a servant in the beginning. Dasya Bhav, Kinkar Bhav, Kinkari Bhav. Ai Nanda Tanacha Kinkaram. O Nanda Nandan, O Radharani, Radhika Nanda Nandan, I am your Kinkar, Kinkari. I am your servant. So I do Hari Guru Vaishnav Seva. And Kinkar Bhav or Kinkari Bhav, male or female. So then one will offer his kirtan in the form of stutis and stotras and prayers, and that becomes manasik murti vandanam. And then you're already acting as a das, dasya bhav. Then your dasya bhav deepens and gradually manifests a ruchi for a particular form of attachment towards the Lord as your own eternal relationship manifests. Every jiva's eternal relationship, even in rag marg at the platform of ruchi, is dasya bhav. Jivera surupaya krishnera nitya das dasitva dasya bhav dainya humility, humble service. I am your humble servant. Then, as we progress through ruchi and come to asakti, then we will understand, yes, I have a particular relation, I am a particular type of das or dasi, in relationship to my Ishtadev, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. I am a nitya das, as a house, a servant in his household. Or I am a nitya sakhi, as a dasi, a pran sakhi of Radha and Krishna, a Manjari Bhav. Or I am a mother or father in Vatsali Bhav. So then it's dasyam, I'm a friend, I can be a friend. My eternal relationship is I'm Krishna's friend, is Sakya. And Atmanavedanam. Whatever my eternal relationship is, my Nitya Prem Sambandha with Krishna, it requires me to fully surrender. Atmanavedanam. Mantan Dan Yashoda Samarpan. Mantan Dan Shidam Samarpan. Mantan Dan Lalita Samarpan. Rupa Mandri Samarpan. Rati Mandri Samarpan. This is all Navaveda Bhakti included in Shravana, Darshana, Dhyanam. The first three words of this verse, chapter 29, verse 27 of the 10th canto. So Krishna speaking to the gopis on the level of Vaidhi Sadhana, and I took it to the next level, Raghunuga Sadhana. So see what the commentary is here. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he's explaining this. And the gopis reply to this, where he says, Krishna's telling them, you should go home and hear and chant about me, worship my deity form, and you won't get the same result as achieved. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go home to your home, back to your homes. It's very interesting, because what Krishna is saying in another way around, because he's saying, pratiyata tato grihan. Go back, pratiyata, tato grihan. Go back to your griha, go back to your house. And you worship deities and do vaidhi sadhana. You won't get the same result. That's a fact. If you do vaidhi sadhana, you go to Vaikuntha. If the gopis follow Krishna on the first two lines and go home and do simply worship with Murti and hear and chant, they'll go to Vaikuntha. This is what will happen by following Bhakti Yoga. But if you stay with me directly in association of a Brijvasi, like Krishna, like Radharani, you stay continually in association with Radharani, close proximity to Radharani. It says Sani Nike, Sani Sa San Ni Karshan. Karshan means attraction. Karshan, Krishna, pulling, attracting, drawing near, pulling near, attracting near. And San means everything. Samyak. Sankirtan, complete attraction, complete bondage, complete cementing. Then sanikarshan means ni means excessively bound and attached and attracted. So he said, you're stating, and it's translated sanikarshena by physical proximity. Actually, sanikarshena means Samprayog means complete union. Samprayog, a complete and special union. Sam, complete, prakrishtarena, a specialized and yoga union. So now that same meaning is in Sannikarshena. It's saying, go home and you'll attain me. You'll attain me by going home. But you stay with me, because if you stay with me, I'm a Brijvasi. If you stay with me, I'm going to move here and there. You're going to follow me. And if you follow a Brijvasi, do you know where you go? You go to Vrindavan. You go to Goloka Vrindavan. And if you follow a Brijvasi who is known as Sri Krishna, you'll develop Shringharati, Madhurya Rati for me. Especially if you're in Prakriti Bhav, and a feminine form like you are, with Sumadhyama, with very beautiful thin waist, which Krishna indicated earlier. So he said, you go home and worship deities, you won't get the same result if you stay here and embrace me. If you go home and look at my picture on the wall, You won't get the same result if you stay here and dance with me and embrace me. I don't think so. Do you think so? No. So Krishna is quite correct what he's saying. Na tata sanikarshena. You won't get the same result. Na tata. Because they've already chanted all they need to chant. They've already did all the meditation they need to do. They've already did all the puja and Archimurti puja they need to do. They already did all the hearing about Krishna that they need to do. Now what they need to do? Enter the Leela with Krishna, Madhurya Leela, the Ras Leela, the Ras Mandal, and dance the night away in a celebration of joy and love and Sringarati. So the Vrajagopis say, they reply that Krishna's telling him, why do you have all these thoughts about adultery and all these things? Why are you thinking about that? I think there's something wrong with you. We don't have any issue here. Why are you talking about this opapatyam and all these things about that? It's not. A few verses ago you said, we didn't say anything, we were quiet. You're the ones that said we had thin waist. We didn't make any comments about your attraction or handsomeness. You said we had sumadhyama. Obviously you're lusting after our thin waist, and our, which goes along with everything else. And then you're the one that said that you're a young man and we're young ladies, and you know, gopis, that you can't really trust the mind of a young man and young woman. If they're together, anything can happen. We didn't say anything. You're the one that's got a problem with, you know, lusting after our thin waist, and you're the one that has a problem with a disturbed mind. Did we say anything about our minds being disturbed? Or about, oh, your chest is so broad, and your arms are so powerful, and your smile is so beautiful, and your hair is so attractive, and you're so cultured and elegant and beautiful and dashing. Our hearts are flip-flopping to look at you, palpitating. And now you're talking about adultery. I think you have a one-track mind. You're talking about it's a lonely place, it's nighttime, and besides, you know, you have thin waist, and, you know, you better get out of here. You better go home, because, you know, the kind of situation like this, it made me adultery, because you're married women, and I'm not even married. I mean, I'm a kid. I mean, after all. And then the gopis are saying, what's with this? We just came out to go for a stroll, like walk through the forest with, like, we go with our brother or something. What? Listen, Gopi said, we didn't come out here in the middle of the night at 1 o'clock in the morning under the full moon to have any physical contact with you. What's on your mind? Rather, we understand very clearly from the words of Garga Muni, who did your Namkarna ceremony, your name-giving ceremony, that you're Narayan himself. You're God. Thus, we have actually come here with a desire that we could attain Narayan Bhakti. You're Narayan, maybe you can teach us and enlighten us how we can attain devotion to Narayan. Shud Narayan Bhakti. Can you tell us how to do that? Therefore, let us stay here tonight with you and serve your lotus feet by dancing with you. Because when Krishna is saying, go home and serve a deity, they're playing, it's called a pun. They're being sarcastic. Oh, yeah. Because we go home and serve a deity, we'll get Vishnu Bhakti, we'll go to Vaikuntha, which I just told you. So, we heard you were Narayan, now you're preaching Vishnu Bhakti, Vaikuntha Prapti, so we're going to sit down here at your feet, and please tell us all about this Vishnu Bhakti, so we can attain Narayan Lok. And meanwhile, while you're teaching us, can we dance the night away in loving embrace in Ras Leela? So then gopis bring it back to the point. Fearing that the gopis may say this, Krishna speaks this verse that you should go home and meditate on me. And Krishna says, it's well known that pure devotees do not even desire the perfections of samipya, which means, do you know what samipya means? There's four kinds of mukti, Vaikuntha mukti. One is Sharsti. Sharsti means to have the same wealth, to go to Vaikuntha and have a big golden palace and golden chariot and have the same wealth as Narayan. Then there's one called Salokya, to simply attain the lok, Vaikuntha lok, prapti, to go to the spiritual world, get your spiritual body, and just be some resident there, Salokya. You're living there. Maybe simple, you're a farmer, a coward man, or whatever. Don't have a big golden palace. That's called Salokya. Then there's Sarupya. Sarupya is where you have the same form as Vishnu. He has forms, you have forms. He's blue, you're blue, whatever. Like that. There's some minor differences, that hair on his chest or whatever is that. Something different. Then there's Samipya. Samipya means nearby. Sanikarshena. Sanikarshena. To be close proximity. To always be associating with Vishnu, which is a more intimate relationship. Yes, you are on the same planet. Yes, you're Salokya. And yes, you may have Sarupya. But you want to be very close. You want to be a servant in Narayan's palace. You want to fan him when he's sitting on his asan. Or you want to cook for him. Or you want to have some intimate relationship. That's called Samipya. Clear? So Krishna is saying that pure devotees don't want anything but Krishna's service. Nadana najana nasundaram. Kavitam Vaha Jagadhisha Kamiye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Hoitaki Tai. Even if I take Janmani Janmani, Janam Janam, birth after birth after birth, all I want is unconditional, unmotivated, pure service at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the Shuddha Bhakt, the pure devotee. His aspiration, his ambition, his desire, his sankalpa is nothing more than that. He doesn't want wealth and attainment and promotion and liberation. He just wants love. Love means service, so he wants loving service. So Krishna is saying, listen, it is well known that pure devotees do not even desire the siddhis or perfection of Samipya, Salokya, or other benefits. Rather, they always desire to hear and chant about the Lord. As devotees, you must have heard about this, gopis, haven't you? Haven't you heard that pure devotees don't desire any liberation? They simply want to hear. Krishna is really tongue-in-cheek here. The gopis don't want anything but to hear and chant about Krishna. When they're not with Krishna, they're remembering him and meditating on his beautiful pastimes and singing and glorifying him, Veno Geet and all the Gopi Geet and so many Geets. And when they're with him, they're serving him directly. They're already doing that. The internal meaning is, Krishna is saying, Vishnath's idea, is that the processes of hearing and chanting about me do not give rise to intense conjugal love, bhav, because that phrase is there, mayi bhavo anukirtanat, anukirtanat. That my bhav, what bhav? Mahabhav, this madhurya bhav, this highest level of intimate, conjugal, amorous love with Krishna, Bhagavan. Simply you're hearing and chanting about me, they do not give rise to intense bhav as much as direct contact with me. Therefore, do not go home and observe Vaidhi Bhakti, but go to the place with no houses, the Kunja groves, the Kunja mandirs, the groves and Kunja cottages of Braj. So when he's saying, Pratiyata tato grihan, he's saying, go to the homes. What homes? The Kunja Griha. It's called Kunja Griha. Kunja, the cottages, forest cottages, Kunja Griha. So don't go to those homes, because those homes are Griha Andakupam, where your so-called husband is, your mother-in-law, your mother, father, sons. It's Griha Andakupam. Kup. Gopi Kup or Gopi Kua means well, and Anda means blind. Those are blind wells. You fall in that house, it's like falling in a well. It's an abandoned well in the middle of an agricultural field. You can yell and scream for 100 years and no one will hear you because you're deep in the hole in the ground and your voice is reverberating back and forth inside the well and not even going out at all to anyone's ears. Lost, trapped, perish in the well of Griha life, Griha Medhi life. So he's not saying that, Pratiyata Tato Grihan, Don't go home and do puja and hear and chant about me, Vaidhi Bhakti. You're on the highest level of Rag Marg, Anurag. You're Anuragis, you're Premi Bhaktas, you're my eternal associates and sadhana siddhas. Stay with me, let's go home, let's go to the Kunja Mandirs. This is the internal meaning. Prabhupada's meaning is this. Actually, of course, Krishna is giving very formidable arguments here to the gopis, but his arguments are not very successful. Prabhupada says, this instruction given here in verse 27 by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Actually it is, but Prabhupada is generally taking the external meaning. Such instructions should be taken very seriously by all honest women. The chastity of women, satya, brat, is specifically stressed herein by the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, this principle should be followed by any serious woman who wants to be elevated to a higher status of life. Krishna is the center of all affection for all living creatures. So Prabhupada is preaching Vaidhi Bhakti for the general masses of people, especially ladies, and emphasizing again chastity, probably because of the modern tendency all around the world, especially in the 70s, 60s and 70s when Prabhupada was writing purports. This was in 1968 when he wrote this. There was lots of unchaste women and men in America, and everywhere free love and all these things, and of course now it may be more so. And Prabhupada didn't want people to misconstrue or misuse the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the nefarious, immoral, or illicit activities in the name of love-ins or be-ins or whatever. So Prabhupada generally took the conservative external understanding of Krishna's statements to the gopis in a very lokic approach to the Rasa-lila in many cases, but not always. But of course, our Rasik Jans, the Rasika Babuka, those Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sridhar Swami Charan, and all of these great acharyas whom Prabhupada said we should worship and follow their teachings, Bande Rupa Sanatana Ruigo Sri Jiva Gopalako. He said, so if we follow them, then we'll hear about these internal meanings and we'll get nourishment and realization and understanding of the actual transcendental situation. And then we can make the most progress in our devotion and peacefully and properly follow the pure path of Rag Marg and come very quickly to Krishna Prema. So here, because Prabhupada is seeming to say, yes, because here he's emphasizing chastity, he's just taking the point of chastity, because Krishna is telling here that you shouldn't stay near me in the middle of the forest, which is, in other words, it's saying married women, Prabhupada's seeing it like this, married women should not run into the forest with some unmarried man in the middle of the night. This is unchaste, and they should follow Krishna's instructions and go home. Pratiyata tatogrihan, pratiyata tatogrihan, they should go home and not stay in such a perilous, dangerous place. And when they are home, rather than cultivating or meditating on adulterous affairs, they should do bhakti to purify their minds and fix their minds on God by hearing and chanting and meditating and remembering Him. But then again, when Prabhupada is actually talking later in the same chapter, this is in chapter 29, the very beginning of the Rasa Dance, and Prabhupada is talking about this verse from a particular external understanding, or according to the external Sanskrit. And our Rasik Janas, our Rasacharyas, are giving us the internal meaning to help us understand the actual spiritual relationships and the purity of the love between Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And then later in chapter 33, at the very conclusion of the Rasa Lila, after it's all said and done, then Prabhupada says something quite categorically different about these subject matters. And he says about the who should hear the Rasa-lila? What is the benefit of Rasa-lila? And understanding the Rasa-lila, not just from the external verses, because in this tika of Srila Prabhupada, he's explaining the verse from the external viewpoint, from one level, one angle of understanding. But there's so many others, and we're showing the angle or the understanding of Vishwanath and Sanatana and Sridhar Swami, whom Prabhupada quotes and refers to throughout everywhere in his books. So he accepts them as Mahajans and Acharyas of Krishna Bhakti. So at the end he says, this is Srila Prabhupada on hearing and speaking Rasa-lila Katha, these five chapters. Srila Prabhupada said, one who has developed his faith in Krishna can both describe and hear the Rasa-lila. If a person hears about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis in the Rasa dance, Rasa Pancha Adhyaya, if he hears about Krishna and the gopis' Rasa dance from an authorized spiritual master who is in disciplic succession and who is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, then that person who has faith in Krishna and hears the Rasa-lila from a bona fide guru, what will happen to him? He will become completely free from the lusty desire of sex life, and he will be elevated to the highest position of spiritual life. Rasa-lila katha shravan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That's Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, chapter 33, his tika on verse 39, printed in 1969, the Krishna book. Very significant. So there, he's when you hear from the spiritual master, and he probably said right sources, the spiritual master will refer to the previous Mahajans. Mahajana yena katha sapanta. We follow the panta, the Mahajana pant, the version. So by hearing from them and understanding what they say, then we will understand the whole situation correctly. Prabhupada also says that, but I just took a few quotes. He said, if we hear from a proper source, he says in the same Krishna book, we'll understand the whole situation very clearly. So we're trying to do that in our association here. Now let's look at this verse. There's two. There's char pada. There's four lines here. Pada means line. Krishna says, is speaking to the gopis while he's standing there on the banks of the Yamuna under the full moon of the Sharad season. Shravana darshana dhyanam. Mayi bhavo anukirtanat. So we'll take these two lines at a time. Gopis hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and chanting my holy name with anukirtanat. Krishna, Krishna Kirtana, how's it go? Krishna Kirtana. That's the same thing, Krishna Kirtana. Krishna Kirtana Gananat. The Anukirtan. Anukirtan means with faith. It means one kirtan after another. It means many things. So then he says, by this, Mahi Bhavo, you'll attain Bhav. Because this is a sadhana. And we practice sadhana bhakti to attain Bhav. Deep feelings, attachment, and remembrance and absorption in Krishna's happiness and pleasure. Saturate our minds with Krishna. Bhav. And that bhav becomes condensed and solidified. And then that bhav itself manifests its full flower and fruit as prema. Prema phal. The fruit of bhav, the fruit of sadhana. Sadhana phal is prema. But before you have fruit, before you have the fruit, you have the flower. Pushpa. The pushpa is the bhav, the flower, that beautiful flower of devotion. so colorful, so fragrant, so attractive to look at. That's bhav. Emanates nectar. There's nectar inside the flower. And the honeybees come and take it. So the honeybee is Krishna. He's the Madhukar. He's a bhav Madhukar. He comes and lands on the flower of a devotee's bhav and he drinks the nectar of his love, his bhav. Then that flower eventually turns into a fruit. And that's the ras. And prema rasa begins. At the level of bhav, there's some amrit, there's some nectar. Some drops, a few drops, and the honeybee comes. And Krishna relishes the drops of our bhav at the level of bhava bhakti, that honeybee, Krishna, that brahmar, prem brahmar. Brahmar means big bumblebee. Dark, shiny, glossy, dark, bluish, black. You must have seen a big, big body. Makes big noise. This is the brahmar. So brahmar comes and lands on the flower of our bhav. And it's nice, he's happy. But he can't get enough. There's only a few drops. He puts his nose in there, takes out a few drops and flies away and stores it in his honeycomb heart. His honeycomb heart. Krishna stores our bhav there and waits for it to mature and condense and deepen and expand. Then that becomes the phal, the fruit, the ripened mango of love, of bhav, is prema, Krishna prema. And a fruit has so much more nectar than a flower. Flower has some small drops. A mango flower. If you take a mango flower and take the very inside essence and go like that, you'll get a half a drop of nectar. But if you wait for it to become a mango and you squeeze it, you get so much juice, so much ras. So that's prema. Prema is so much ras, bhakti ras. Then there's ras. There's amrit and ras. Bhav gives amrit, amrit bindu. But prem gives rasa sindhu. Have you heard? Bhakti, rasamrita, sindhu. So bhakti means prema. Bhakti with ras is only possible at prema. Combination of five bhavas at the level of prema produces ras. So Krishna is telling, Mahi bhav. Go home and do sadhana bhakti and you'll come eventually. Sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana will take one to rag, improper association with proper guidance of raganugya bhaktas, either in previous life or this life. And then, intensifying one's rag, then bhav. So if you do shravana, darshana, dhyanam, anukirtana, then you'll get mahi bhav. By hearing about Krishna, worshipping his deity form, meditating upon him, and doing kirtan, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, then we can come to bhav. So that's correct. So it appears in this verse, the first half of the verse, that Krishna is saying the same thing he says in two different places in Bhagavad Gita. He's, in other words, to the sadhana siddha gopis and the nitya siddha gopis, his nitya parishads, who are standing in front of him, he's telling them Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 34. And again, it's in chapter 18. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mamna maskuru. Mame vaishyasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. You'll become priya. You'll become priya to me. How will you become dear to God? How will you become a beloved of God? Go home, man mana, think of me, and worship me, offer obeisances to me. This way. So this is the first two lines of the verse Krishna's telling, describing ordinary practices of Vaidhi Bhakti for the purpose of attaining him. It's very correct what Krishna's saying. It's the perfect bhakti tattva. Krishna's, he's guru, Krishna's Adi Guru. He's preaching and teaching bhakti yoga to Arjuna. And here he tried out preaching first to the gopis so he could practice. Later he perfected it, so he preached to Arjuna 100 years later. So first, when he was 11, he tried out this idea, man manava bhamad bhakto. And then when he was 90 or 100 years old in the battlefield, Kurukshetra, Arjuna, you shouldn't stand here and love me as my sakha. Why are you standing here and loving me and having so many gonorasas? You're in Sakyabhava, now you're experiencing the gonorasa of fear. Oh, my Lord, seeing this Ratarupa, I'm trembling, I'm perspiring. Please show me your beautiful, sweet, two-arm form as my Sakha, as my friend. This Viratarupa, this Aishvarya Bhagavan, this majestic Bhagavan, Vishwarup, I'm trembling. Well, that was just a anubhava of his intense sakirati, his intense love. So he felt fear, which is a gonaras. It's a gonaras which nourishes and increases the attachment of a friend to a friend. Oh, I didn't realize who you are. We used to sit on the same bed together. We used to share our food together. Now I realize you're God. And there's one, in one Purana, Narada Muni was amazed. He was amazed how intimate and how close they are, because when Arjuna saw that in the battlefield, so much gonarasa, bhaya ras, so much fear, and this vibhatsa. Vibhatsa means ghastliness. It was ghastly. He saw thousands of soldiers and chariots and horses rushing into the mouth of Krishna's Viratarupa. He said, "This is my friend?" He's just munching and crunching the heads of soldiers like they're peanuts. Thousands of soldiers' heads are rushing into his mouth, like, just crushing them like some kind of wood chipper, and when they put trees in, they and just crushing up like some garbage truck. This is my friend. Then we sat on the same bed together. We shared food. He's my priyosime, and I'm his priya jana. So that fear. So it's told once Narada Muni, he was amazed. He went to Dwarka. And when he went to Dwarka, he said, "Where's my Lord?" And Bhagavan kaha. He said, "Oh, he's sleeping in his royal palace with Arjuna." So Narada Muni went there to see Lord Dwarkadish in Dwarka. And in his royal chambers, his sleeping chambers, in a beautiful canopy bed, brass bed with a canopy and so many little things hanging down. What do you call those little things hanging down? Pearls, fringe of pearls around the canopy is like a little chata over the bed. Beautiful brass or probably gold bed, inlaid with jewels, nice mattress, and the sheets were whiter than the foam in the milk ocean. The sheets on Krishna's bed were whiter than the foam in the milk ocean, Kirsagar described like this. And then he went there and saw a most amazing sight and heard something most amazing. He entered very quietly and respectfully Krishna's royal sleeping chambers. And there, lying on the bed, huge, was a king's bed, king-size bed. The queen size is king-size. But Krishna's lying there like this, one side, head like this. And lying on the other side, opposite side, is Arjuna, like this, sleeping on the pillow. This is the pillow. Arjuna's feet are lying on Krishna's chest. Krishna's feet are lying on Arjuna's chest, because they're opposite. One head is here and one head is here. Feet like this. Standing by the head of Arjuna is his wife, Draupadi, with Chamar, fanning him. Standing by the head of Dwarkadish is Rukmini, Mahishi, Queen Rukmini, fanning her lord, Dwarkadish. Very beautiful, tender, touching, intimate scene. And Sakya, brotherly love, Sakya Ras, Arjuna, and his lord, Krishna. That's why he says in the on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, "Oh, we sat in the same bed together. We shared our meals together." You can see that's told in Viratarupa chapter. "Oh, Krishna, I didn't realize who you were. We had, not only they sat on the same bed, this pastime is also there." Now, Narada Muni was most amazed and excited to see such an intimate display of divine love. The mercy, the compassion, the intimacy of Bhagavan, Dwarkadish, were his intimate, his loving devotees, sharing the same bed. And what to speak of sharing the same bed, but clutching the feet to his chest. amazing sight, amazing darshan. But more than that, he heard something whispering very softly. He heard hundreds of voices. Narada Muni was hearing hundreds of voices coming from two different sources. From two different sources, he was hearing hundreds of voices. And some hundreds of voices were saying, "Arjun, Arjun." And hundreds of voices were repeating together in unison, "Krishna, Krishna." Where were those hundreds of voices coming from? He was looking, is this Akash Vani I'm hearing? Akash means sky. Vani means words. Sky song, celestial song, Akash Vani. There's some celestial beings, Kinnaras or Gandharvas, invisible to me, that are singing in the celestial region, Krishna, Arjun. Narada Muni's looking up. Very faint whispering sound. Where is it coming from? Krishna, 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 Arjuna, Arjuna, Arjuna. Then he said, "Oh, it's coming here from the bed. There's two boxes there, like Prabhupada chanting boxes." No. Just to break the suspense. So it's coming, the sound, the hundreds of voices are coming from the bed. And he moves closer. And it's very faint, very light, very faint, very soft, not loud. And he comes near Krishna, and he hears from Krishna's arms, coming from Krishna's arms and Krishna's chest and Krishna's hands, and everywhere, from every pore of Krishna's body, hundreds of voices are in unison, chanting softly, "Arjun, Arjun, Arjun." So hundreds of voices, Krishna's entire body is vibrating the glories of Arjun, his sakha, his bhakta, Arjun, his lover, devotee, friend. But I hear Krishna, Krishna. And he goes to the other side, walks to the other side of the bed, and he hears from the arms and face and chest and whole form of Arjun, he hears this hundreds of voices in unison, Krishna, 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 Arjun, Krishna. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki. So this is the friendship of Arjun. So this point here is that Krishna is telling, you'll become Priya to me by doing sadhana bhakti. Manmana bhava madhvakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Priyosime, the same phrase is there in Bhagavad Gita, priyosime. So from that, priyosime is about this four-point program of Krishna consciousness. Think of Krishna, offer your obeisances, become his devotee, worship him. Manmana bhava madhvakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Yaji means worship. Namaskuru means obeisances. From that, in the same Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is called Priyosime. So Krishna is telling, go home and hear about me, chant about me, worship my deity. You'll become Priya. You'll become dear to me like Arjuna. You'll become dear. And they'll say, my name is Priyaji. Your name is Priyatam. Just yesterday, we're walking along the banks of the Yamuna. You're holding my hand saying, oh, Priyaji, you're my everything. I love you more than any other gopi. Really, really, it's true. Although sometimes I go here and there, I don't know what happens to me. They hypnotize me. They give me some jadu, put something in my food. I don't know what happens. They mislead me. They hypnotize me. I'm a simple boy, and these ladies, some are very clever, you know. Shaivya Padma, they capture me, and they hypnotize me, and they take me into some kunja, and I don't know what happens to me. I lose my mind. I forget everything, how to get to your kunja, and so it's their fault, it's not mine. I really, believe me, I'm very honest, I'm true. I love you through and through, more than anyone else can ever do. So please accept me, because I'm the boy who's blue. Jai Jai Shri Radhe! So now we look at this word in verse 27. Natata sanikarshena sanikarshina, natata. He's saying, I'm telling you to do this in the first two puttas. And then to do that, if you want to do that, if you want to go worship, if you want to worship a murti, or if you want to meditate on me, if you want to hear about me and chant, then you should go home. Pratiyata tatogrihan. That I recommend. Go home and do that. Because there's no murtis over here. You go home and you establish some murti. There's no murtis here on the bank of the Yamuna under the full moon. There's just me, Sakshat Krishna. And there's no kartals, mridangas here. You have to go home and do kirtan there. And so then Krishna says, Natata sanikarshina. He says, proximity, if you stay here so tightly with me, san ni karshena. Karsha means Krishna. We say Krishna means Krishna, Krishna, all attractive. He attracts all. Krishna. So all attractive means sankarshan. Sankarshan is one expansion of Krishna, sankarshan. Mul sankarshan. So he attracts all with his Leela Madhurya, his Prema Madhurya, his Veena Madhurya, and his Rupa Madhurya. Krishna played his Murli, which is so attractive and so sweet and deep and heart-stirring and heart-moving and mind-capturing and mind-enchanting and bewildering. And he pulled. Karshena means pull, attract. He pulled the gopis out of their homes. He pulled them away from their husbands. They were lying in beds with their husbands. They jumped up and ran out. Their husbands standing with clubs to beat them. They pushed the husbands aside and ran out. Husbands fell down with their cricket bats, clutched in their hands. I couldn't stop them. They're holding their babies or their babies of their sisters or sister-in-laws. Dropped them on the floor, Haribo, and ran out. They were cooking. They were serving their husbands at the dinner table. Oh, psh, they just dropped the spoon on his plate and ran out. That's pulling attraction, forcibly attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute call, his love song, his clarion call, his invitation to the Ras Mandal, the celebration of love, eternal love, dancing forever with Krishna. That is called, it's not Karshan, it's not the all attraction, it's Sankarshan. It's not Sankarshan, it's San Nikesharnena. San Nikarshena. San Nikarshena. He did it. He pulled them in proximity to him. He pulled them away from everything. They dropped everything. All Varna connections, all Ashram connections, they dropped everything. Sarva Dharman Prityaja. Parityaja. Complete, all sides Tyag. Parityaja. Sarva Dharman Prityaja. Mam Ekam. They're only one. Mam Ekam Sharanam. They're Sharanagati. They're totally Sharanagati. Man. Kaya, Mano, Vakya, everything they surrender to Krishna's feet. Sanikarshina. They attain that proximity. But he's saying, what I just told you to do, this sadhana bhakti, you can't get that by staying near me. By physical proximity, there are many processes, and the word means, by physical proximity, that's what the word. So there could... There's many processes, Krishna is telling, by which one can attain Krishna. However, the result of these processes is not the same as being directly with Krishna in close proximity like the Vraja Gopis, obviously. Who do you think is more advanced? Someone in a temple that's ringing bells and offering artik, or someone who's standing in front of Krishna under the full moon night? Obviously, the sadhana siddha gopis are perfected souls. Thus implied is the inner hidden meaning in Krishna's words is that the Braja Gopis should stay with him in the forest at night and not go back to the pratiyata tatogrihan. You should not go back. You're in close proximity with me, God. You made it. You have sakshat darshan. That is the perfection of sadhana, sakshat darshan. You may have spurtiyat bhav. At the level of prema, you can have sakshat direct darshan, eye-to-eye contact, mouth-to-mouth, hand-to-hand, hand-to-head, hand-to-hand, mouth-to-mouth, chest-to-chest. Intimate contact with Krishna, even in sadhaka rup, in this very form that we're sitting here in today. That's the perfection of sadhana, to have close proximity of Krishna, to have darshanad of Krishna, to shravanad of Krishna. Shravanad, Krishna says, shravanad, darshanad, dhyanam, mahi bhavo, anukirtanat. Shravanad means they're hearing. Are they hearing about Krishna? They're hearing directly from Krishna. He's speaking to them with love. So much love is implied in his statements, which are externally appearing contrary and indifferent. But they're expressions of his bhamya bhav. They're expressions of mayi bhavo. Of his own bhav, he's expressing go home, which means stay, and follow your husbands, which means follow me. Go home and hear about me, which means listen to me here on the banks of Yamuna. Go home and do darshan. Go home and have darshan of your deity. Hello, guess what? I'm your deity. Take my darshan, which you're having, saksha darshan. And go home and do dhyanam. Well, guess what? You've been meditating on everything I've said and wondering what I'm doing. You're already doing dhyan standing in front of me. And mahi bhavo, and your whole existence is full of mahabhav. Whose bhav? My bhav. Mahi bhavo. Your mahabhav is for me. And anukirtanat, you're always chanting my glories. And mentally right now you have so many things to say. In a few seconds you're going to do anukirtanat. You're going to do anukirtanat. You're going to reply this yukti prayukti argument and counter argument. You're going to counter all my arguments, defeat all my statements and reveal by that the intensity and purity and extent of your love, exaltation of your pure Krishna prema, your immaculate love. And that way you're going to do anukirtan. You're going to speak verse after verse after verse in what is called Pranaya Gita, from verse, I don't know, 31 to 41, whatever is coming up. It's called Pranaya Gita. There's Veno Gita, there's Gopi Gita, there's Pranaya, Veno Gita, Pranaya Gita, Gopi Gita, Yoga Gita, Brahma Gita, Mahishi Gita, and Viraha Gita. There's different Gita's. We say in the West, we say Gita. Here they say Gita, Gopi Gita. And this is we're about to start soon, the Pranaya Gita of the Gopis. So now another nice point that we've been talking about, which I just summarized in a note here, that Krishna is talking about two kinds of devotion here. He's talking about Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana. So this particular verse, 27, shows two paths of devotion. Shravanad, darshanad, dhyanam, mayi bhavo, anukirtanat. Na tata sani karshena, pratiyata tato griham. Sri Krishna said to the gopis, transcendental love for me, mayi bhav, arises by bhakti yoga. The devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result of bhav, mayi bhavo, is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go back to your homes and try again. They go back to your homes and try again practicing Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana, and you may get to the platform where you get Sakshat Darshan. You have Sakshat Darshan, you've attained perfection. Now go back and try again. And if you're successful and your second attempt at bhakti at Shravanam Kirtam, you may get my darshan again. And then maybe next time around we can have the rest of dance. Second time around, let's go around again. So there's two paths of devotion. One is called Raghunuga Bhakti, the path of sacred love. And the other is the path of regulated devotion, Vaidhi, Vidhi Marg, Vaidhi Sadhana. Krishna is preaching Vaidhi Bhakti to the Braja Gopis. He's saying, transcendental love for me, Krishna Prem, is not dependent on physical proximity. Prema develops by following the instructions of Shastras, such as hearing about Krishna, seeing Krishna's form in the temple, meditating on him, and chanting his glories. Krishna is telling the gopis it's better to follow the scriptural path of regulated ritualistic devotion, Vaidhi Bhakti. Because someone might say, how can you love someone you've never seen? interesting paradox. Can you love someone you've never met? Can you love someone you've never seen? The obvious answer would be no. Yes? Does that make sense? If I ask you, can you love someone you never met, what will you say? The answer obviously is no, if you have any common sense or if you're a human being. If you're not a human being, you won't be able to answer. Can you love someone you never met? The answer is no. Can you love someone you never seen? The answer is no. Because meeting and seeing are also part of the same thing. But Krishna is saying, because physical proximity means you're seeing the person. Proximity means you're right there. But Krishna is saying, you don't have to see me to get Mahi Bhav. That's what he's saying. Because if Vaidhi Bhakti, the goal of Vaidhi Bhakti is love of God. Yes? You agree? So now we're saying the goal of Vaidhi Bhakti is love of God, but we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti to love someone we never saw, we never met. So it seems how is it possible? Because we already established, right? Can you love someone you never saw? And the answer is no. Yes? The answer is no. Can you love someone you've never seen? The answer is no. But then Krishna is saying, but you can love God, who you've never seen, and you can love God, whom you never met, by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Dhyanam, Nipam. He says, Mahi Bhav. Bhav means love. So this is the difference between material love and spiritual love. A material lover, an object of love in the material world, you have to meet them, you have to see them and meet them. Then maybe develop love for them. But Krishna, who is invisible to us at the platform of bondage due to our anarthas and avidya and aparad, he can be, by this process, we will get physical proximity, we will see him and we will meet him and we will know him. As it says in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna will come and shake our hands. As after Brahma never met Krishna personally. He never saw him. It was all by heart transmission. He's born from the navel on a lotus stem, Padmanabha, the lotus of Vishnu, but he couldn't even see his father. He is in darkness. That's pretty blind. It's like the child on the end of the umbilical cord in the womb of his mother. Can he see the face of his mother? The answer is no. So Brahma is on the umbilical cord of coming from the navel. The navel is the connection of the umbilical cord inside. Is it right? Yes? No? Yes. Child to the mother. So he's connected to the umbilical cord, which is a lotus of Vishnu, and he manifests here in the lotus, in the garbha. That's the lotus, garbha daksha of Vishnu. And he says, where did I came from? Who am I? What am I supposed to do over here? It's all dark in every direction. And then he never saw. And then he just heard a voice in the top. And then knowledge came in his mind and his heart. Tene Brahma yet Adi. Tene Rida Brahma yet Adi Kavye. So he sees the knowledge. So this, we can't see Krishna, but by the process of bhakti, we will attain physical proximity and see him. So this is one level. He's saying that transcendental love for me does not depend on proximity, sanni nikarshena. Prema develops by following the instructions of shastras, such as hearing about Krishna, seeing his form. I said that. By following. But the gopis are already on the path of rag bhakti, spontaneous devotion. They have fully perfected their rag, sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, madan bhav. And they have loving attachment for God, and they've already attained his eternal association of pure love. They have realized the perfection of bhakti, devotion to God, by entering the circle of Krishna's intimate love, the rasamandala, which is the eternal celebration, dancing in Krishna's eternal loving service. On rag marg, raganuga bhakti, A devotee certainly follows all the scriptural injunctions and performs devotional activities like hearing and chanting, seeing the deity, Didi Darshan, and meditating on Radha and Krishna. But unlike Vaidik Marg, he does this with intense greed and strong desire to enter the circle of intimate sweet love in Madhurya Braja Prem. The Braja Gopis had already perfectly realized the goal of Raghunuga Bhakti by the purity of their love. I mean, the Sadhana Siddha Gopis I'm speaking of, the Nitya Siddhas, they didn't follow any Raghunuga Bhakti. They're naturally Anuragis, and that's their eternal identity and position because they're expanded from Krishna's Ladini Shakti. But many of the Gopis, Sadhana Siddha Gopis, the Municharis, Rishicharis, they had perfectly realized the goal of their Raghunuga Bhakti practices by the purity of their love. So obviously the Braja Gopis were already on the level of Krishna Prem and Uttama Bhakti. Therefore, they should stay there. That's why Krishna says, you shouldn't really go home because you're Premi Bhaktas. And as long as you're not a Premi Bhakti, you have to keep going home. Going home means take another birth. You approach Krishna, you don't quite attain his proximity, you go back and get another body. Then you approach Krishna, you don't attain proximity, you don't enter the Rasa Mandala, you go back and do more hearing, chanting, remembering, more Raghunuga Bhakti. Going back to the Griha, Pratiyata, Pratiyata Tato Grihan. Grihan means Griha. Griha means Garva, the home of the womb, the house of the womb, the womb. The garbha. The garbha is also griha for the baby, the fetus. So Krishna is saying, unless you're perfected in your shravanam, shravana, darshana, dhyanam, and you attain bhav, then you have to pratiyata tato grihan. You have to go back to your home. Means try again, die, take another birth, and finally attain Krishna's. When you have mahibhav, when you're full of bhava and prem, then sa nikarshena, you attain very tight, intimate, eternal connection with Krishna. Your love attracts him to your side. You don't have to, when you have bhava and prem, Krishna, he runs to your side, especially prema. And this is one of the qualities and characteristics of devotion. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami Pad is telling about this, and we'll continue that tomorrow.